We're going to need more beer at this rate.
I know, right? I'm over it. Let's go.
I saw a fridge full of them down there.
Welcome aboard the Funny Boat Podcast. I am your host. And yes, we have begun. This is one of the biggest assemblies of folks we've ever done on a podcast. So this is very exciting.
It's like a buffet of guests.
I know. Did I say I'm your host? No,
you said that, but you didn't say what your name was.
Oh, I'm Captain Boomies.
Oh, nice to meet you.
Ahoy, hoy. With me, the furry faced and fabulous, the broker with the beard. How are you doing, Cap?
I'm doing fantastic, Captain Boomies. I mean, look where we're at. This is amazing.
Right? We never get treated this nice.
This is bigger than the Airbnb. Just this deck alone.
That's true. Okay, so I should put it in context for everybody who's just listening to the audio version. We are sitting on the top deck of a Silent Yacht 62. It is massive, and it is gorgeous.
Sparkly.
We are also at the Palm Beach Boat Show, so it's a little exciting. You might hear some background noise. You're going to suffer through it with the rest of us, and we'll enjoy the ambiance, yes?
Yes.
Yes. But more importantly, I have assembled kind of a dream team here.
Feels like Avengers. It's a Marvel movie.
I have assembled a dream team of folks who are annoying the heck out of the boating world by making them deal with the electric propulsion.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
I've been annoying people since 88.
There you go.
I've got some catching up to do then.
So the voices around the table, I'm going to go ahead and let them all introduce themselves. Yeah. Tell me your name, tell me what your company is, and what kind of electric boating we're talking about when we poke at you. Steve, would you mind?
Am I going first?
Yeah.
Okay. Steve Bell, Vice Chairman, Silent Yachts, based in Italy. Manufacturers of solar electric yachts, this 62 and an 80 model. I'm very pleased to be here with some like-minded people and you Boomies.
Oh, and me. Matt, would you mind?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Matt Moore. I'm CEO and one of the founders of Velar Boats out of Charleston, South Carolina. We kind of branched off from Scout, my business partner Dustin and I, and found some pain points in boating and just found that electric solved a lot of those things. So we started our own company. We just went to market a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
Nice.
Let me clarify. You are electric jet boats.
No.
No.
They're electric outboards.
You are electric outboards. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh. But they semi-foil?
Yeah. So our first model boat is the Artemis 23. It's 23-foot catamaran, center console style. But in between the hulls, we have a semi-foil. So just one of the things we did to fix that turning, but it's a dihedral foil. So it attaches to the inside of the hulls. So when we're running, that's how we solve our efficiency issue, right? And everybody's first question about, well, how far does it go? So it goes just as far as that 23.
We'll get to it. All right, Eric, let's talk about it.
Eric Pinzon with Electrified Marina. We do electric boat sails, repowers, everything from electric jet skis and tenders up to, I mean, we get a lot of eyeballs on our stuff. So we get leads from all walks of life, even up to this size stuff and foiling stuff, semi-foiling. So electric boat sails and repowers, we work with as many people in the industry as we can right now. I just did a count the other day and it was like 17 different manufacturers. It's growing still. We have more to add on.
Oh,
yeah.
That's wild. That's
becoming
a lot.
But we're adding more to the team. We just hired two people, and I've got another Justin from Aqua Electric starting next week to help me with the sales side of things because it's getting busy. It's exciting. We've learned a lot of what not to do over the last 4 years, and we're finally dialing things in and going to expand a couple locations around the country and keep selling boats.
So what you're saying is there should be more people at this table than I've actually invited. Okay, just checking.
Yeah.
Alexander, would you be so kind?
My name is Alex Mongeon, CEO and founder of Vision Marine Technology. Back then it was called Canadian Electric Boat. I'm an electrician by trade and also a boat racer. and I like disturbing the industry and people. Built a bunch of smaller electric boats, but there's a lot of people who are buying electric boats. People don't believe that, but we sold and delivered over 3,000 electric boats.
Holy. Wow.
And people don't believe that since 1995. The guy who trained me and showed me how to build electric boats is Ian Bruce. He passed away a few years ago, and he was a designer of the laser sail boats. So we sold over 200,000 of those sail boats, over 140 countries. And along the way, I also met Roger Moore 10 years ago. That also was a very good mentor for me. Larry Smith from Skarab was building electric boats also. The Miami Vice boat was built by Skarab. He built over 3,000 boats. Now he's doing only electric. He's 80 years old. He boats every day. So I'm very close with the guy from Voltari. Back then, they were LTS Marine. They were my tenant in St. Catherine, Montreal. So there's a lot of guys building electric product in Montreal. And we were early adapters. Eric is one of our good customers.
First OEM.
Yeah. And people think it's a joke, but it's changing. It's like cars. We are probably 10 years ahead of where we should be. We are probably like in 2009. Where Tesla was, and it's growing, and we feel it. And lately, I did the acquisition of Nautical Ventures, because the industry needed some distribution, service, and brand awareness. I'm an early adapter. I bought my first Rivian boat, car number 100. They delivered the car at my home on a flatbed tow truck, but people don't do that there. Usually, they want to have a dealership. So. That's what I do a bit. I created the Emotion 180 and a bunch of other powerful electric outboards. We also run with foil and pontoon. So what you guys are doing, catamarans, I did the Fontaine Peugeot in 2014, going from here to the Exuma with inboard electric outboards with a small genset. So I love what I see today, but I thought I was the only crazy guy thinking and dreaming about that. It's a day off for me being here because I'm a CEO of a NASDAQ listed company, so it's pushing me away from what I really like, and this is what I like.
Oh,
good.
It's a treat for me.
Well, welcome. I like how you say scarab. I say it wrong, clearly, like scarab. Let me work on that. Oh, I've been saying
say
it
that again.
Scarab.
Scarab.
Okay, you say it the way I say it. All right, maybe we're all screwing
scarab, maybe,
right?
Yeah. I think the common denominator is we just need to say it with an accent of some sort.
Yeah.
And you know who's the CEO now? It's Ken Clinton, who used to be the CEO of Intrepid. And Ken Clinton was trained by Larry Smith back then, 35 years ago, building those boats. So the student became the master. So those boat builders, it's a small world. Mm-hmm. Larry Smith was building Skarab, did Miami Vice boat. Ken Clinton was building those boats with him, learned, went to 34 years with Intrepid, built Intrepid. Intrepid was sold to Marine Max, and then Ken Clinton joined Beneteau Group, and now he's running the production site in Cadillac, Michigan with a million foot square of production, and they are rebuilding Skarab and Wellcraft that was built by Larry Smith.
Okay, so here's what I'm hearing from all of this. What I'm hearing is that electric in the boating space is further along, partly because boats are more ready to be electric than just about any other mode of transportation. Yeah. I would say the exception being like
airplanes.
Yeah.
But that's there's guys pushing the limits too. I just had a call with an electric seaplane company that's going to use our marina. As exciting stuff. It's happening across all sectors. Yeah. And there's places where it just makes sense. But when you pull your boat into a slip every night, and it's usually the same slip every night with charging infrastructure, that's easier to solve. You're not going on cross-country road trips typically.
Oh, I love that. The tailspin theme is happening in my head, though. Anytime somebody says seaplane, oh, Leo.
But there lies the issue of the smaller yachts on the electric. You've got to charge them. And we're fortunate on this that we've just about got enough solar space to sustain the hotel without an issue and do some cruising. But the marina side, especially in Europe, for the electrical charging is troublesome because they're full. So they've no need to invest in an infrastructure of charging. But that's what's needed for the smaller yachts.
Yeah, that's a good point. We get that all the time. People are like, you put a solar panel on your T-top.
Won't do much good, one panel.
Get you a percent of charge in 3 hours.
All right. So not everybody listening to this is aware of the in-joke on what you guys just said. I'm barely aware of it. But solar, I mean, this boat has so much real estate for solar. This is a huge, huge hardtop with how many panels?
42, so 17 kilowatt peak.
This is as much as you put on a house.
but then, interestingly, you're correct in what you say, that this 17 kilowatt peak will give you, it's probably doing now about 8 kilowatt hours. So there's a misconception of what it actually does. Mm-hmm. And people have said to me many times, why can't you just run on solar all the time? I said, you need to tow 250 solar panels to make it work. Yeah, absolutely. So it is, there's a lack of understanding of what solar does.
Yeah, I see that a lot. I see that there's just misconceptions across the board about electric. The obvious ones that I'm not even going to spend that much time on are, what is the range, right? I'm sure you hear that 100 times a day.
It's the first question.
And I love it. And if you just explain to people, it's all about education. I've been educating people for the past 15 years. So the example we have here with 17 kilowatt of raw solar panel, probably this boat at 6 knots, because you're cruising at 6-7 knots where we are here today, and you're enjoying life, you probably use 15 kilowatt, probably 20 kilowatt. Am I right? How much kilowatt you need to move that boat?
So at 6 knots, you're literally 20 kilowatts. So you're never going to sustain that on solar. But then that's why you have the batteries. But you're right, it's an educational process.
So you've got 17 kilowatt from the sun, you've got batteries, you're using that boat for 4 hours a day, so you'll be using 20 kilowatt when you're using it, you're gonna need 80 kilowatt, but you've got 10, 12 hours of sun that gives you maybe 15 kilowatt if you're lucky per hour, so you have enough for your day, and then at night you get that thing recharged. So even if it's cloudy, it's raining, it's salty on the solar panel, it's efficient. Those big boats around don't do 40 miles per hour. They do 6 miles per hour. I live on the intracoastal here. You cannot go more than 6 miles per hour in front of my house. You cannot even use your flight board because it's too fast.
I didn't know that.
And
oh,
it's getting
gosh,
more and more like that. So this boat is actually the same thing as the other boats we see here with twin man 3,000 horsepower. They're not allowed to push that thing. They maybe are allowed to push it once every 6 months to cross to the Exuma, but they have a captain. They're not even part of that. So you put a captain at 10 knots, he's using the diesel generator to recharge once or twice during the trip. And when you're driving those around the island, this is perfect. I used to have a catamaran Leopard 51, and we converted, and that's the best thing you could do. The best part on a boat, it's at 5 o'clock when you shut down the engine and generator, you take your shower, and it's calm. With those boats, that's what you live. People are, it's a social environment that you want to have some peaceness, quietness, and this is what electric is about. And once they get into the boat, they understand that and they write the check.
No, you're right. I 100% agree with you. It's, you know, we did a trip from Boomers and I spent some time in the Exumas. We ran it from Georgetown up to New Providence in 5 days, 170 miles. Never ran the generator once, total on solar. And that's how people cruise. But you are correct. It's there's a limitation. The sun doesn't always shine. And the need for education is massive. So
we live in a little bit of a different world.
Yeah, sorry,
you got to recharge.
Yeah, we're a performance boat, so I mean we have twin 40 kilowatt drives. So we're a day boat, so you can use your boat all day, but you got to recharge it at night. We're going to use most of the battery, but we're pulling a lot.
Yeah, but that's great. That work. Yeah. That's a fantastic model. If you use your yacht or if you use your day boat all day and put it back on charge, perfect.
Exactly. Yep, that's it.
What's the average range that a boater does in the U.S. on a daily basis?
I was going to say, I know both of these guys know the answer.
I'm obviously not
take
in
a guess.
The U.S. Well, I'm going to guess it's about, it's less than 10 miles.
It's 17 and a half.
Okay, yeah.
Freedom Boat Club membership, I've worked with some of those guys to put electric boats and... Long story short, the big corporate head office of that company shut me down. We were putting 20 electric boats with 10 boat club owned by Brunswick in Florida. Press release went out and they shut down the project. But before doing that, we did our research. It's 9 nautical miles. It's 80% of the boat memberships from Freedom Boat Club. I should not use those words, but this is what it is, and that's the truth. Yeah. So boaters are doing the same route. Every time they take their boat out, they go to the sandbar restaurant, coming back. So people think, I'm going to do 40 miles with my pontoon today. Good luck, my friend. I'll give you a pontoon.
Even if they are doing the 40 miles, they're not doing 40 miles wide open.
Nope.
Right.
So
they're doing,
and even on charter, you take on one of these on charter, the charter guests don't want to be on it for more than 2 hours. They want to stop and swim and have a drink and stuff. Right. It just doesn't
anchored
happen
out.
It doesn't happen.
Now up to 80,000 rentals of 2 hours every time in California since 2017.
Not even
there's a lot of angst at this table.
never came back to port because the port in Newport Beach is 6 miles per hour. Duffy, the mayor, Marshall Duffy, is the mayor of Newport Beach, and he's also the boat manufacturers. He created the shot and he created the vaccine. So you cannot go, like a big theater, like you cannot go more than 6 miles per hour. So every big houses have a big boat, but they also have a small electric boats. And they do their tour for 2 hours, they come back. So we do four blocks of 2 hours per day, 8 hours of boating, with one single charge at night for about $1.50, and we did 80,000 rentals. And no one's coming back. Hey, that's not fast enough. There's no range. No, that same boat gets out 8 hours a day.
Because it works. It does what it's supposed to do.
It's amazing. So we have another business because this one, you know, we haven't made any money yet, but we're about to. Don't worry. but we have boat storage, but we'll put it in the water for you. And we're also a Mercury dealership. So we'll hang Mercury motors, that kind of thing. And I love Mercury. Thanks, guys. You guys are awesome. But half of their business is warranty. Like and we just didn't want to go there. We want to build something to last, right? We want to have no maintenance. But if you cut out all the maintenance, then you lose a very big chunk of business.
It's too disruptive of a business model. And that's why the automotive world was so stale and boring. And it took an outsider like Tesla to be this catalyst. And I saw the numbers on the back end and how many vehicles, how many cars in the fleet you could support with a number of technicians. And it's like 70% less. Yeah. Obviously, nothing's perfect. Things are still going to go wrong. Abuse, negligence is still going to happen. But you can't be that disruptive to a business that is that massive.
Well, so you take a boat club, for example. Half of their business is selling the boats after 3 years because the motors are junk, but they can go sell the boat. So if you tell them that now they can keep the boat for 8 years.
Yeah.
It's interesting when you look at this and you look at the questions that people ask about maintenance, and if you take out the air conditioning, the water makers, which every yacht's got, and the generator, which doesn't run very much, so you can park that rather than servicing your generator every 2 weeks because you're running it all the time. Apart from changing a few anodes on the heat exchangers, which are actually capped in ability to change, there's no maintenance.
Yeah.
And you're right, it is disruptive.
And so we sold some boats. We bought boats from the Newport Beach fleet. So these things had been rentals their entire life in saltwater.
3,000, 4,000 hours in them.
Nonstop.
Honestly, nonstop, because my boats run 8 hours on the water, so it's a 12-hour day. And when they're 2 years old, 3 years old, we put them on to sell because they're getting weak because of the sun. Like the top of the boat we have here, they fade, so we take them for a discount.
Refresh the fleet.
Refresh,
yeah, absolutely.
And then they have a second life.
And so we've sold a lot of these boats, and we can plug into the batteries, look at the state of health of it, overall health. And it's like most of these batteries, they're not doing high discharge rates. It's not an electric car that's getting fast charged and, you know, abused. It is batteries that are 48 volts and have a pretty constant charge and discharge rate. And we've sold some of these boats that are 6-7 years old that were rentals their entire life. And we used some as rentals before we sold them, still had 85 to 90% life left. And those owners still have those boats with original batteries in them. And we don't hear from them. It's anodes, like you said, that is it.
And we're talking about $25,000 to $35,000 boats. So if you were had to purchase a pontoon with a Mercury motors on it, even at 25 horsepower, you would never get that 5,000 or 6,000 hours on the engine. And if the engines for any reason got caught with fishing lines, because the biggest problem we have is
the only way.
It's fishing lines or like any other ice engine, inboard, outboard. So they last. The maintenance is not. It's a walk in the park. A boat is maintenance, but the engine and the system. Same thing with the inboards.
Power, ground, and communication.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting on the battery tech and the BMS system that we run on here, and we run MG, a Dutch battery, and the charging stats most times it doesn't even clarify, it catches a cycle because it doesn't discharge enough. And it's not like the Tesla that I have in Italy where I just run it and fast charge it. It, you know, the battery tech is getting better and better and better. And it, most people won't even use more than 30% of this 350 kilowatt hours on here.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the battery tech is, I mean, it's like iPhones in 2014. Like every week they're coming out with a new one, right? Upgrade something. It's amazing. It really is.
I think the biggest part in the battery space is the competition that's been created. You look at the price per kilowatt hour, and like marine space has always been expensive, but you know, especially in the 48 volt space, the price, you know, we were buying a 5 kilowatt hours for $5,000 to $10,000, and now you can get some pretty quality batteries for $1,000 to $2,000 a piece, and that trickles into the higher voltage space and the price per kilowatt hour. But the competition and the volume is driving the price down tremendously, and it's getting this stuff more and more affordable, you know. And and that's, you know, price point is a challenge for some people, not as much for the early adopters. But when you can get this item that's going to last well past their ownership cycle, and it's not a concern for them, but it leaves them less concerns to worry about. And we're just slowly getting rid of those concerns. And but the biggest part, you said education earlier, I feel like that's the biggest challenge in the electric boat industry right now. It's huge.
We move batteries from an old first generation boats to a new generation boats.
Because they outlast the boat.
Wait, explain that.
So let's say if you go on YouTube today, you check some Bruce 22, named after Ian Bruce, ski boats doing 40 miles per hour. We are in 2016. I'm driving that thing around with my Tesla X, launching that thing doing 40 miles per hour, and the boat is all mahogany and wood. So 2023, the wood is cracked. It doesn't look good. We take everything out, put that thing back on another boat. So we move the product. The product stay longer and healthier than the entire boat. And we built our own battery pack, so the smaller one, 40, 52 volt, we get manufacturers to a pack maker to pack it for us. And now we are as pricey as an AGM battery almost. And even on the 700 volt, we built our own. And to show to people that it's powerful as hell, so we take that same battery pack, that Pushmeyer 200 horsepower outboard, and we put that thing on a race boat and push that thing on 116 miles per hour. on
it's at 30. World records.
So. The power is there. Don't worry. Okay, there's no range. The need is not the same. The consumption and the use is not the same. I cannot follow an MTI Cat at 116 miles per hour for 20 minutes. And no one does that at 116 miles per hour.
No, that's insane.
But you have to understand that there's parts ready for production. And to be sure that we will not be cut by big manufacturers, we decided to build our own battery packs. We have pack makers. We design the pack, and then we have pack makers building them. Octillion is one of them. They have delivered over 1 million battery for the car industry. So those guys are using their robots with my own patents, my own battery pack, and we have the voltage we need. So I can help everyone around the table if they need batteries or motors, because we spend $70, $75 million on the development of those technologies to make sure that at some point Honda or Mercury will come with something electric. That's what we need. What's missing around this table is Mercury, Honda, Yamaha coming with something electric. A bit like Tesla. If Ford or GM or Rivian never came, or BMW or Benz never came alive with something electric, Tesla would probably be dead. So we need other OEMs to embrace the electric.
I mean, like a year or two to get, you know, established first. give me a year.
Work a bit harder.
Position yourself for the acquisition later.
That's right.
Well, you are kind of the small fry here.
We are.
I'm so sorry.
No, that's all right. I'm a big boy. All
right. like heavy hitter, really heavy hitter. Kicking butt.
Trying.
Yeah.
We're not cash flow positive yet. Still struggling.
Best looking? Possible.
For all of you listening on audio only, he's incorrect.
But I wanna touch on the fact that, like, I think I was so drawn to your boat when she was on the demo dock at the Annapolis Boat Show, mm-hmm. because I knew you were doing some weird stuff. I knew that there was something very unusual about the setup of your hull because your numbers didn't make sense to me. And then once you said, oh, she's semi-foiling, I went, oh.
Like, yeah.
Oh, I think I understand. But I tried to explain it to my husband this morning because I was like, I'm so excited about my podcast. I'm going to go talk to these guys.
Go nerd out.
I'm going to go nerd out. And then I went, wait, I don't actually know how to talk about it.
Yeah. No, we get that all the time. And that's why we decided when we went to, we started this company through almost 4 years ago. And everybody's like, where, I've never heard of you. Who's the small fry? Who are you? And we spent that time because we knew what we had. People weren't going to believe it. It wasn't going to make sense. And it was going to be hard to explain. So we had to have a product you can put your feet on. So that's what we did. We had some really good advice, which was fly low, fly fast. We flew low. We didn't fly as fast as we wanted, but we flew low.
Yeah, but you never do, do
that's
you?
That's right. That's right.
I remember when you first reached out to me, and we get manufacturers that reach out to us. Hey, we want to sell boats. And I get renderings. And it's like, okay, talk to me when you got a boat in the water. And you guys reached out and like, hey, we've got a boat. It can do 40 miles of range with a 60 kilowatt hour pack. I'm like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
Like right away, instant negativity. And I almost didn't reply to your email because I thought you were full of crap. And you said, no, come down for a ride. I'm like, okay. And I squeezed it in between, like, I think it was the can trip. And I was like, we've got to go check this boat out. If this is real, this is mind boggling. And the efficiency is just huge.
Yeah. So we
because of your lift, because yes, of your partial lift in terms
yes,
of,
sir. Yeah. So we partnered with a bunch of really good companies, one of them being Morelli and Melvin out of California. And, you know, I grew up racing sailboats in Charleston. That was kind of like my life growing up. So kind of always been in this sailing space of how do we always are short on power sailing, right? Like how do we get more? How do we go faster? So foiling has always been on my mind. So Pete designed the foil for us. We are 17 inches static draft. And then when we're running, we've got about 4 inches. So we take a lot of
that's crazy.
We take a lot of the friction out of the water. And then it, you know, an unintended benefit, which is pretty cool, is it's really smooth. Like, I mean, catamarans inherently are going to be really smooth.
Yo, when do I get to make my wine glass video on your boat?
I have it.
I just saw you guys did one. Yeah. It was too smooth out there. You needed a little more chop.
You just missed that whole thing.
No, me.
Yes,
are you busy this weekend?
It's water. Also, it's water. So.
No, that is a fail. It has to be red wine. It has to be red wine because it's a whole boating thing.
Did I miss this?
No. So we have. Have you ever seen the Serta Matra commercial, the old one where they drop the bowling ball?
Right.
In the wine?
Yeah.
So we have done the same thing. Our boat's really, really smooth just because it gets up over like 2-3 foot, like big waves.
Wow, wow.
And we can put a glass or a wine glass on the bow of it and it will not tip over. It's really cool. And
what blows me away, it's like foiling in sailboat has been around forever.
Yeah.
It's not new technology. It's not groundbreaking. There isn't anything that was a catalyst that made it possible right now. Just nobody is put it together. And I think there's some power cats out there, some big ones that have it, but they're all gas powered with huge V8s on them.
And you don't need a foil.
Hold on. But when you get a 30% efficiency gain when you're going offshore 200-300 miles, like when those guys are offshore fishing, like that is massive fuel savings. Yeah. But it's funny because I'm pushing a lot of the foiling stuff right now. And it is the similar negativity and skepticism around electric boating. And I see it. I was promoting the Spectre and I posted about that and everyone's like, no way. Doesn't like I could post the graphs, the charts, all of it to show the efficiency gains. And there's so much they're skeptics. They don't believe it. And it's not wizardry. It's just it's like an airplane wing that creates lift. It's crazy.
It's you flying an airplane, right? It's
right.
If you go back to the comment you made about when he first approached you, Eric, and he said, and you were like, so we see all the time people making claims on the performance of electric yachts. And that's why we made a decision at Silent Yachts to say, we'll disclose everything. And Boomies and I did a test 2 years ago.
I made you film the actual. I filmed the entire thing.
Energy consumption.
Yeah, we've nothing to hide because if you buy a yacht from us and I tell you it's going to do this, which a load of people do, and it doesn't do it, you're going to think I'm a right plonker, as we say in the UK, because it doesn't work. And that's something else that we've really got to get to grips with to educate reality. And I was talking to a boat test. And they were saying that a lot of the companies don't want a boat test, don't want to test.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm. And that's really interesting.
And that's why we did it.
I've did that test in a boat show. I'll tell you the story in a second. But just to come back with the foil, Aquila, who's owned by
Pete Melvin Design,
Marine Max, they have on their cat a foil. Do they show you with foil and without foil the result? No. On the pontoons, we have to show you the result without the foil and with the foil. So we have to prove that we are efficient. the overall industry don't do those things. So maybe 2-3 years ago, I think I'm with Kevin Falvey from Boat Test, and he's asking me about the first questions. Oh, that's a nice boat. What's the range of it? Okay, wait a second. Let's go. So I go to the biggest CRE dealership at the Toronto Boat Show, and we start asking questions. Who's the best salesman of that dealership? So, I've been selling CREs for 32 years. Okay, perfect. You own a boat? Yes, I own that same boat. So what's the range on it? Why? What's the range? I don't know. You own the boat for 9 years and you don't know the range of your boat? Nope. When there's not enough fuel, I put some more in. So yeah. There's no range on it. Perfect. So why the hell no one's asking the question? So it's about educating people. It's like cars.
That's my favorite question, actually. People will say, what happens when I run out of battery? What happens when you run out of gas?
Same thing. Do we see Tesla cars on the highway without powers? No, because the drivers are adapting their lifestyle with that. I'm driving electric cars for the past 10 years.
And that's what you do on these. It's 100% exactly the same.
The system we built telling you that you get 58 miles range. You won't try to do 75. The system is telling you it's 58. So you slow down and you adapt your driving. And if you have to stop to have lunch and you get that thing charged, that it is what it is, like a car. I'm driving electric cars. The electric cars that I have are faster than any electric gas cars. I'm driving the Escalade. My Escalade Electric is faster than the Escalade V and has more range than a gas car. It's adapting, but we need to educate those people.
I think we have an IQ problem too, though. I'm not kidding. People are dumb.
Easy. Oh, no. Easy.
I think you guys are really smart.
You heard it here first, folks. You heard it here first.
Larboats thinks you're really smart.
I've said it before. Like, when I was at Tesla, we would get complaints. Hey, this car said it could go 280 miles. I only got 200. We'll pull up the data. Yeah, you were doing 88 miles an hour the entire time. Oh, you can see that? Yeah, what'd you think was gonna happen? People don't understand physics, and it's even worse in the US. It's not, people don't understand science. They don't. That's why everyone recommends solar panels on a little T-top. I got a comment yesterday. Oh, you guys should put windmills on it so you can charge it while you're going. I'm like, we'll think about that.
You would not believe the number of times I've had people say, why don't you run 4 windmills, one on each corner?
Literally, yeah.
Or we get under the water a lot.
Yeah.
Like they're like, put a turbine in between the pontoons.
But are they never going to buy a boat?
No.
Yeah.
Those aren't our customers.
But correct.
That's part of life.
But I still love you.
I love them.
I don't. Everybody. Don't come talk to us. I do not have time.
We're not big enough fries yet.
But we also have very educated people who know more about your product and my product, even if I've built that thing from scratch, because they're smart people, and we need to give love to people who are interesting and people, and the younger generation and the women's are the customers that we want to talk to. And our job is to educate them slowly and ask them the right questions. Where are you going to go boating? What's your need? Do you want a boat? Yeah. If you do it the right way, and we cannot afford one bad review or a boat that catching fire. Gas boats are exploding every week, every year.
So
the biggest accident in the world.
Yeah.
But we cannot afford that. So we have to be cautious. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And we need to educate and we need to be cautious.
You're making such a good point about the comment about batteries. And lithium batteries in particular.
Yeah.
You have batteries in your boat already. Every single boat. Every single
this
boat
here.
These
crazy guys do videos spraying waters, flooding batteries with my boats, and putting that thing back.
That one was an accident. but it worked. And we opened that pack up afterwards. Not a drop got in.
People don't understand that every boat in the world have batteries and they don't even have protections. If you touch those two poles, you're going to fry right away. Lithium batteries, you cannot do that. But it's about educating people. They don't know that. First boats were electric back then, 100 years ago. It's educating people and telling them, I can short myself much more with a Mercury engine with two batteries than I can short myself with any of your boats around because there's safety. If we want to prove that we can sell them, there's safety. So IP67, now it's IP68. And these are all about telling the right thing to people and taking our time and investing in the right people. Those windmill people and solar panel people on small boats.
No chance.
It's like solar car. It's cool, but no, it's not a science project.
Yeah, I guess we get a lot of questions, not only about windmills and wings that come out on the yacht that you could open out and get more solar panels, but the battery tech and the solid state. I keep saying to the guys, look, when a solid state is really available, our process in terms of approval through TUV, through CE in Europe, is probably a 2-year process. And here we have a battery tech from MG that we use that works. The BMS, it does what it's supposed to do. And there's always people with an opinion, I'll order a yacht only when it's solid state. I was like, and there's...
Just like the hydrogen.
Absolutely.
It's coming. It's coming.
I don't even listen to the hydrogen.
Same.
But you're right. It's not. They're not. But it's. They may not be buyers, but it's part of a process of education, which is really important. And just as a quick diverse, when we did the Atlantic on the 62, we flew the kites.
Yes.
Which was. It could have been okay, but it's just a pain in the butt putting it up, etc.
It looked awesome.
It looked awesome.
So there's the point. We got more views on the kite 8-minute video than anything else. But
that's probably me.
That was on there.
Thanks. But it does. So it, and all, but all those people commented on the kites, and you're right, it did look awesome, and it actually worked, and it could be okay, but it's not our market. It's not what our customers want to do.
Exactly. Right.
But they're not the buyers.
I can't imagine how much work it is to put that thing
down. We lost.
Yeah.
We lost all of them.
I mean, I'm from South Carolina. I probably wouldn't get out of the bag. So
take a bet. When they do those things, play a game with them. I can get it. Can you put a deposit?
I'll sell you one right now.
Then you get blocked on social media.
Yeah. So they do that. Okay, I got a technology that will meet your request. Are you putting a deposit today? Ask your wife to come with a checkbook.
For sure.
Don't lose your time. Don't get discouraged by those people.
But it's an educational balance that you've got from a branding perspective, and showing that we're ahead of the game in terms of what we're doing with technology. So, but you're right, there comes a point where you go, this guy is very interesting, but he's not a customer.
Yeah, you touched on something a second ago about the work involved, and that is the biggest reason we see people buying electric boats. A lot of them are ex-sailboaters that are tired of sailing. Like, they love it, they're getting older, they don't want to work as hard, but they still enjoy that tranquility, that refinement on the water, and all you hear is the sound of the water and the wind. And those people just, they want a boat without the effort, without the headache. And that's who we sell to. 60% of our buyers are first-time powerboat owners. Some of them are coming from sailboats, about a third. But most of them would have never considered a boat until it was electric. So it's literally going to expand the boating market. We're not really directly competing.
No, you're right. And this, we use this as a sailboat without sails.
Ooh, that's good. That's
exactly what it is.
Yeah, the conversion from gas boat purchaser to electric is very, very minimal. You're talking about Gen Zs or people who are actually doing a lot of sailing, but investing time and effort and converting gas power boat owners, it's not the right way. It's like cars. I don't know who's driving an electric car here, but there's people that even if you give them an electric car, they won't drive them. And some people will take mortgages just to buy an electric car, and they will change their habit and lifestyle. So I think with the more I hear what's around the table, I think the real topic is to put everyone in the same, let's say, team, and try to educate as much people as we can instead of trying to do our own little thing alone.
For sure.
And regrouping ourselves.
My wife drives an electric car, and thanks, I drive a diesel
car. We've got a refill of.
That's how you know. Hold on, that's how you know we're in the right place.
And I drive a diesel truck.
God, I love yachts.
So carbon neutral.
Yachts are great.
I told you I was bringing dad jokes.
I'm sorry, I missed you. You know, I was distracted by my.
It's too late.
The arrival of your beer.
Man,
I'll do it later.
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna hit you later.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was my bad. So here's where I'm landing on this. I am very excited about everything you guys are doing. I think that it's so the way boats are going to go. Yes, the batteries are going to continue to improve massively. Yes, you're going to get more efficiencies. I do think foiling is going to become more and more of a thing. Everyone thinks of foiling and they think of like
the full foil,
which is the big, you know, you're hovering feet above the water.
Which has its place.
Your flight
it's
board.
They're actually very cool, right? But it takes kind of the day boat aspect out of it.
I was on a Candela, like, doing 30 knots around a mooring field, and like, I'm not making a wake.
Like, it almost feels illegal.
Do you have a helmet on?
It's so illegal. No, I didn't.
The last time I saw one, everybody had to wear a helmet.
I know. they do get pretty particular about it, but you know, I think that we're moving in the right direction. And boating is so much more primed for electric than anything else. However, I do think none of you can solve the fisherman problem.
Depends which on the
kind
fisherman.
Of fisherman. Ooh. Which kind of
okay,
fisherman?
Okay, okay. So I mean the guy who runs out to the canyon. Yeah, I'm
we looking. Don't need to.
Okay,
we have decades of scaling of volume and supply problems to work through before we have to focus on the 10% of the.
Yeah,
segment.
For sure. It's the tiniest percentage, and I agree with you. Like, we're just not.
Sorry, what's fishing?
Yeah, exactly. We're not going to solve a guy who runs 200 miles a day. Like, yeah. It's just not going
to
happen.
We also don't
but
need
like,
to
there's a million sport fishers over here, and you're not going
to
like it anyway. You know what I mean? So like,
it's the same.
And thing. I still love you, Larboats.
It's the same thing with the car industry. Those big 53-foot trailers moving merchandise everywhere electric, it's not happening. So offshore fishing, it's not happening.
It's the smallest percentage.
But every fisherman who owns a 15 to 30 feet boat has an electric motor on it. They all need that trolling motors. So they're running hybrid because as soon as they get to their spot, they're not running their Mercury or Suzuki engine, right. They're running electric. But those guys are actually lakes and rivers fishermen. That's your customer. They don't need two motors if you have it electric. Because it's quiet as hell, correct. And you can play with the
motor.
Torque and the speed much easier than your ice engine outboards and the vibration and the smoke that scares the fish around. So they all have trolling motors. But offshore, we're not going to be there. It's like cars moving a lot of big 50-footer trucks or trailers. It's not happening. No, so
I agree. So this is what, like, my wife drives an electric car, right? And when we first bought it 5-6 years ago, it's like we go up – college we both went to, we go up to the football game all the time. It's like, well, we're not gonna be able to make Clemson. It's like, well, I drive a diesel truck, right? We just get in the diesel truck and we go, right? It's not gonna solve that small percentage. I agree with you. Inshore fishermen, however, I think it's gonna kill it.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well,
by the way, I've got a radio station, it's called the Weekly Fisherman. We own that thing for the past 12 years, so we should actually work in having half of that sequence in electric division.
Oh, shout out to Eric.
I got that thing when I acquired Nautical Ventures. So we have 30,000 subscribers. So I think I'm going to give you that new task or that new job to run half of the Fisherman Weekly show with Eric Bannon, who's actually a host, is one of your coworkers.
Yeah, I love that.
We need to discuss about that.
There's
and probably you too, and all of you guys on that TV show, on that radio show.
And there's something to be said about acoustics and noise under the water, and when you're dumping your exhaust into the water, and how the animals react. And I'm not one to say, I don't know, I don't spout BS. And whenever we go out on boats, we were out on the Velar, I've done it on X-Shores, I've done it on the Vision boats, the amount of dolphins and animals that are so much closer, it's almost scary how close they
I've
get.
I've never scared a dolphin in my entire life. We do it all the time.
Yeah.
On the Velar. Like, yeah. You sneak up on them. And they're like, oh, God. Yeah.
And
scares me too.
There's some electric only fishing tournaments all over the place. There's a big one in Georgia, but they fish these electric only reservoirs. Well, so it just happens to be because of the body of water. They've got amazing fishing there in this reservoir, good sized lake, but they don't want to pollute it with gas engines. Kind of crazy. And it's electric only. And so there's bass fishing tournaments that have 10, 20, 30 boats out there. And some of these guys are now running, you know, 50 to 100 horsepower electric bass fishing boats. But some of these guys say the fishing is better without a gas engine.
Sure,
on it.
Absolutely.
I'd be curious on the science behind it, of what a gas boat, how it reacts differently to an electric boat in terms of the fish and how close they get to you and scaring off the animals, you know? I'd be curious to see what that looks like.
I don't really talk to fish very often, but
but when I do, it's usually with tartar sauce.
Yeah. Okay, that was perfect. All right, we're going to go around here, and would you all please let folks know how to find you? You know, either your socials or your web information. Would you mind kicking us off?
Yeah, silent-yachts.com. We're based in Italy. You can search a simple search. Silent Yachts tends to bring us up at the first of most Google searches. So if you've got any questions, reach out and we'll be pleased to answer.
For Matt Moore, you come down Charleston, go down Dirt Road, find the oak tree, take a left.
He's not kidding.
Yeah, not kidding.
Not that oak tree. The other one.
No, velar.boats.com, velare.boats. Is our Instagram, Facebook, all that kind of stuff. So,
Eric, I've got Electric Boat Dude on Instagram. If you want the unfiltered stuff, if you want the polished stuff, Electrified Marina, somebody else runs that, and they're a lot nicer to people than I am.
Well, yeah, for the technology for all OEMs, visionmarinetechnologies.com, and we also have Nautical Ventures, the store for pleasure boats and toys on the water and fun on the water. So we've got 6 locations in Florida. And we also have a rentals operation in California under EB Rentals. So we've got Newport Beach and Ventura. So if you want to come and see trial or rent a boat for a few hours, learn the product. And if you want to buy and see trial a brand new boat, it's nauticalventures.com.
All right, I'm going to finish this off by asking you guys the most annoying question that I can think of right now that hasn't been asked already. Why can't I just stick a panda generator on and extend the range?
You can. Our system
is very fun. All right.
And it's very efficient. Serial hybrid can make sense in a lot of boats. There's a reason trains do it. It's a great way to move stuff at an efficient rate. But smaller boats with weight and fuel capacity becomes a problem. And yeah, but it can definitely work on bigger boats.
We can hook it up from the OEM's production boat. So instead of having 2 batteries, we're going to only put 1. And the weight of the generator, 18 kilowatt, is the same weight as my batteries. So my system is made for that. We've designed a system for that. It's a PDU.
So you designed it for that?
Yes.
So it already exists?
Yes, and we're using your regular
show
power.
Why don't I know this?
I was surprised you didn't know that.
So I have 2 answers to your question, which is, first, wait until December.
Okay. Wait until... Okay.
Right? And the second one is... What you're finding with all these answers is that nobody here is an evangelist, right? Nobody here is like trying to do away with all of this, right? It's just the best way to get power, the most efficient way to get power, and to make it as simple as possible. That's all. So if you need to put gas generator on it to make it do that,
diesel preferably.
Yeah, and that's what we do. We have this has a 130 kilowatt generator and an 18 kilowatt smaller one as well, just as a backup. So we never plug into shore power. But then we've got the space.
And I think that goes back to the education piece. People think they can put this little, you know, Honda generator in the thing. And it's like, you don't realize how much power a boat consumes while up on plane. You need a 30, 50 kilowatt generator to have a big impact. Unless it's a slow cruiser, a trawler, that can do a 10, 20 kilowatt. But if you're doing a 30 foot day boat, 25 feet, that is doing 30 miles an hour, it is a ton of power. And people just don't realize that takes.
And then you can get the 10% fisherman.
There you go.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Yeah. That feels good. That feels good. Because honestly, I'm coming from really big ships where everything is generator electric. So you're running 3 generators at a time, and that's powering the boat. So it all of this makes so much sense to me, except for the part where I can't imagine manufacturing a boat to be able to do either or. And that seems like a manufacturing challenge.
We've trained people. I've trained the staff at Group Beneteau, one of the largest European boat builders. So we've trained their staff in Cadillac, Michigan. They have a 1 million foot square up there. Back then, they had 1,000 employees, and they have a production line. They got the training and the know-how how to install the batteries, the wiring, everything from our technology. It was pretty simple. We did the same thing with Barletta, owned by Winnebago. People don't know, but Winnebago owns Chris Craft and Barletta Pontoon. So we did that, and the guys are embracing the training. The employees are doing all the rigging. It's easier, and it takes less time to do an integration and installation on a brand new boat when it's electric. It's a plug-and-play system. It's heavy to do a full rigging on a brand new boat. It's electric once you show them how to do it, and we're utilizing the same space of their fuel tank because I copy the size of a Scepter fuel tank in my system. So the batteries is 43 inches long, 12 inches high, and 19 inches wide, and it fits under any floor and on any boats between 18 to 35 feet.
Okay, so what is all this range anxiety nonsense? This
education.
Yes.
We love you, Velar Boats.
I'm glad we didn't do a drinking game with the word education.
You say it makes sense where it makes sense, and we don't try to force it otherwise. Whether it's offshore fishing or you want a wakeboard, granted, they have wakeboard. There's a wakeboard hybrid boat coming out now with a gen set on it. But they've also got, you know, arc boat and voltaic with massive batteries. That's enough for the average person. It's education, man. It's we got a long way to go, and we've got a big event that's worth announcing. June 6th, Lake Berryessa. Vision Marine's the title sponsor of it. I think it is going to be the largest electric boat event in the world.
We will be the smallest We'll be the small fry sponsor.
I can't wait.
Am I allowed to go?
Where was my invite?
Napa Valley.
We're still working on rolling it out. There's a lot of people we haven't reached out to. I'm riding shotgun in that. Ollie with Charged Marine. If you guys want to complain to somebody, he's leading the event. I'm helping promote it.
There's the bus.
Yeah, he's doing all the heavy lifting. I just get some of the kudos.
All right, so this is me plugging for an invitation, Ollie. Just letting you know, I want to go. But this has been the Funny Boat Podcast, because I do have to get us out of here. All of these people have boats to go sell, and I'm taking up a lot of their time, but I really appreciate you all being here. It really was such an interesting discussion.
I feel very educated.
Number 17.
Seriously, like I've been like, this is amazing.
My IQ is 10 points high.
Almost enough to buy an electric boat. Thank you for hosting us.
Yes, thank you very much.
I'm very happy to host you guys, and you know that. I'm sure we can find more time. Maybe if I get an invite to that show.
You come with us.
Great, thanks.
Yeah, you'll be on
our team. I'd love to see a silent yacht at Lake Berryessa.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting road trip, wouldn't it?
Big logistics move, but I believe in you guys.
No pressure then.
You've got the right audience there. The West Coast is 50 times bigger on electric than where we are here. And you drive around in California, where we are based, you see electric cars much more than
for sure. We're not going to get a 50 ton 30 foot wide yacht there, but the weather will be nice there, won't it? Yeah, that's fine. I'll come
and then
that.
Maybe something in Tahoe in August, which is also an amazing market.
Yeah, my brother's in Tahoe, so I'll stay on state with him.
You'll get more inquiries and probably orders from that weekend than any boat shows in the state of Florida.
We'll come
and
do that.
I think it's worth for everyone to be invited and
hooray!
Be
I agree.
Bravo.
We're working on getting the word out there.
Hooray. All right,
thank you for having us.
No, my
yeah, pleasure. Absolutely.
Thank you. Thanks, Boomies.